I would certainly be doing, I would certainly think that a lot of very novel things could be done in space systems. Things like these modular solar power satellites, a whole set of things we didn't talk about in terms of modular robotic systems.
Modular robotic systems.
Yeah, there's been so much progress in the last 20 years in computing and in mechanisms, in motors and so on, that basically anything you can conceive of by way of a robot, you can turn it into the mechanics of that robot. Still, there's still limits in getting to robots that are really intelligent. So there's no sudden breakthrough there. But robots that have intelligence similar to that of insects, that's very, very feasible now. And if you think of doing things in space, not with a conventional spacecraft,
yes,
but with groups of or collections of robots with insect-class intelligence,
yes,
think about what an ant colony can accomplish. An individual ant is very little, but a colony of ants can do amazing things. Well, similarly, collections of very insect-class intelligent, but very capable modular robots could do amazing things in space.
So then in the bigger picture, you're more of a fan of not necessarily the manned program. Is that correct?
No, because I think the same techniques work really well to make the cost of human spaceflight really low and the reliability of human spaceflight really good. I'm very even-handed on that subject. I think there are lots of things that only people can do, like science, like discovery, like research, and there are lots of other things that machines do very, very well.
Well, explain to me how this concept of insect-intelligent, smaller robotic things would that work?
Well, that is, as a good example, let's come back to the idea of a solar power satellite. In the 70s, the concepts that were looked at were like stick-built homes or stick-built skyscrapers. You had pieces that were dumb, and you had workers, and you had factories, and the pieces got put together either in the factory or out in the field with people doing welding and turning wrenches and so on. Quite similar to the way that the space station operations were done earlier this week. And it takes a lot of effort to put together systems in that way. If you instead think of a collection of spacecraft elements that they look like, say, a set of plates, like tiles in a tile floor. But instead of being dumb, let's suppose each of the tiles in your tile floor was smart. So they could position themselves and sort of take their place in the mosaic without needing any kind of assistance from a factory or from a construction crew. You can envision remarkably large space solar power systems sort of assembling themselves out of a kit once they get into space and get to the right location.
We have the technology to do this now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Think of a bunch of skydivers. They all jump out of a plane. They're falling through the air, at the increasing sets of speeds, and they assemble themselves into these remarkable arrays, these networks, these beautiful patterns. And they do it in a matter of moments under quite stringent conditions before they separate and then open their parachutes.
That's so, humans, though.
Yeah, but most of what they have to go through to get to be trained is they have to be trained not to use their intelligence, but instead to do just what they're supposed to do and nothing more.
Uh-huh.
So they have to dumb down to do these remarkable formations. But if I don't know if you've ever seen synchronized skating or synchronized swimming. It's quite similar.
I have. Yes, I have. Then it's just sad to me that we're not. I mean, you've already mentioned so much that we could be doing, but we're not doing. Now, is it the politics within NASA that is propelling us in this single-minded, not necessarily efficient direction?
Well, it's just a question of tactical priorities. I don't think it's at all politics. I don't think it's in any way related to one party or another or one vision. or another per se. It's just a question of tactical emphasis.
Well, yes, but that tactical emphasis is decided by those in, you know, high management positions or even national direction.
Well, it's certainly a judgment question, but I just wouldn't characterize it as a political question. It's a question of judgment.
Well, then, is our judgment flawed?
Well, as we mentioned before, if you looked at it as sort of an investment within any major organization, you tend to see any large sort of future-looking organization spending 5, 10, or 15% of its total resources each year on its farther-term future. And that's just sort of a healthy kind of level, depending on the business.
And the percentage that NASA is spending now?
No. But I'm just saying that would make a
I understand. So I'm following up and asking, what is NASA spending in that department?
These days, it's substantially less. I don't know the precise number, but it's substantially less. In the Apollo era, NASA spent about 10% of its budget on the farther term future.
But so what happened? What happened?
Well, it's just a question of having a lot of obligations for current programs, things like finishing station assembly and a lot of ongoing science programs, and at the same time wanting to accelerate the development of the shuttle replacement and to move forward on the new launcher,
the
capsule and the booster.
Yes, but the fact that we're not spending that money, or at least 10% in the direction you talked about, isn't that, failure or waste almost becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy?
Yeah, the dilemma is all the statistics going back both on the NASA side and in defense and in industry suggest that if you're not spending that kind of money, your future programs are going to be in some difficulty. You end up with a lesser understanding of the technical issues that you face, not today, but tomorrow. And that leads to cost problems in the future.
Or if you continue with the mindset of assembling the International Space Station, for example, with continued nothing but continued, shuttle launches and whoever all is helping out, if the Russians still are, if you continue only in that direction and you don't consider some of these other options, then you're almost doomed, aren't you?
Certainly, it becomes very hard to see how you ever break through some of these fundamental barriers in terms of cost or performance to do really new things. That's true.